This episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. You know that one friend who always finds the best travel deals, picks the right cards, and somehow ends up in first class for the price of coach? Well, Smart Travel is like that friend, but in podcast form. They cover all things travel finance, like which airport lounges are worth it and which are basically free Wi-Fi and chairs, and how travel advisors can snag secret perks you didn't even know to ask for, or how to get real value from points, not just a tiny reward at checkout. Travel smarter and spend less with help from Nerd Wallet. Follow Smart Travel wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
And welcome to the Fromer Travel Show. I'm your host, Pauline Fromer. As folks who listen to this podcast a lot know, during the pandemic, I adopted a pandemic puppy. My daughter begged for the dog, and we ended up getting it despite the fact that we had two cats who hated the dog, but they eventually ended up being okay. And very recently, for the first time, I traveled with said dog, and I made every mistake in the book. Something that I wish I had read my next guest's article before I hit the road. She is Danielle Gelfand. She wrote a fabulous article in the New York Times. They have a whole section called Travel 101, and the article is called How to Travel with a Pet. Hey, Danielle, thank you so much for appearing on the Fromer Travel Show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to hear what happened with your dog.
Well, you talk about your first travels with your pet. Mine had much less planning that went into it. My husband's a professor at Columbia. I knew I had to go to Mystic, Connecticut for a couple of days to research there. And so really at the last minute, I just threw the dog into the car and went. I did get a pet-friendly hotel, but tell us about how you came to this subject and what I should have done in terms of planning first for where to take the dog.
Okay, well, I should say that I love your story of a pandemic puppy. My daughter also, who is now almost nine, had been asking for a dog for so long. And I'm a TV producer and also a writer. And so I view things in quarters. So I kept promising her a dog in Q4 of some year someday. Like, and so, and then at the beginning of a summer, she said a couple years ago, why not now? And I was like, oh God, but we have all these fun plans lined up. But I didn't have a good answer for her. So I said, okay, we can get the dog. You know, my second question was like, okay, what are we going to do with the dog? Like, how do you travel with a dog? And especially a young dog, then a puppy who is part, she's a Chiweenie. So she's part Chihuahua, part Dachshund, which means like relaxed and calm. She's not. And frankly, neither is anyone in my family. So I started researching it and talking to different people. And, you know, it's kind of a rabbit hole. Like if it's something, you know, if you don't sort of think about it and it's such a rabbit, it's much more complex than I ever thought possible, depending on your destination. And so, you know, earlier this year, I pitched Amy Vershev a bunch of ideas. I'd been doing some travel pieces and I said, like, what about traveling with your pet?
She is the editor of the travel section of the New York Times. That's who Amy Vershev is.
Yes. Apologies. Yes. So, and so it was a go. And I literally had no idea how complex it was, as I said. So I think there are many steps. And like anything else, you kind of can chunk down the steps. So the first thing is, like, you want to talk to your vet. Okay. And you want to talk to your vet about whether or not your dog is a good candidate for travel on like a million fronts, including, you know, especially short-nosed dogs, for example. There are often issues, and like the certain airlines won't let like short-nosed dogs fly because they have trouble breathing in the air. Or, you know, is your dog anxious, you know, and those kind of things. And so that's the first thing about like, what does your vet think that your dog, who knows your dog or your cat or whatever, if they're a good candidate for travel? And also,
well,
like,
and
what
also what type of travel? I thought you made an excellent point about different destinations and what the requirements are. Like, if it's a major hiking destination and you have a lap dog, you know, who's not used to being on trails and, you know, going up to high altitudes, it might be not a great vacation for a dog. Because even though we think of dogs as being more active than human beings, they sleep 18 hours a day and they're often
not. Yeah. I mean, I think that's the thing. Like, I was scrolling through Instagram, being like, who are all these dogs that are like with their people, like on beaches and like on trails? I'm like, our dog would last like all of 12 minutes and then would be bored. She's little, whatever. Like, so, you know, yes, I think thinking about what type of vacation is, how long the vacation is, like kind of the same things that you would think about. Are you a good fit for this kind of vacation? You know, is about like, would your dog be a good? And also, you know, I think it's not that easy to actually bring your pet to a lot of international destinations. There are like lots and lots of steps. There are a lot of requirements. I think people think it maybe it's cheaper to do it, but I wonder if in the end it's kind of a wash because, you know, you have to pay for all these forms and medications and tests and all these things, depending on where you go. And the other thing that I thought was interesting, even about locally, is like, you know, many states. So there's international travel, which is one thing. Interstate travel is really regulated by this. It's regulated by the state that you're going to. So many states have their own requirements, which I was floored that, you know, okay, if you're going through Nevada, and that's one of many, many, many states that have a requirement. Like, you need a health form, and I believe that you need, like, a rabies form saying, you know, that your dog doesn't have rabies if you're going to stay there. Not if you're driving through the state. If you're going to California and going from Ohio, you're driving through. But if you're stopping, you know, and which is not about, like, whether or not that's enforced. That's a different thing. But nonetheless, sure. I was shocked. I didn't know.
No.
I didn't know.
I was shocked, too, that you would need that kind of paperwork just to go from state to state. Now, I don't know how anybody would ever get stopped, you right. know, but nowadays, well, people are being stopped all the time for a lot of things anyway. Yes.
And also you need to, and this is the other thing that shocked me was, you know, I had a dog growing up. We had a dog now for almost 2 years, and that for most paperwork, you need a USDA certified accredited veterinarian.
Right.
Which
I didn't even know that existed. I've never asked my veterinarian for a license.
No, a USDA accredited vet. And I called my vet, and my vet is not a USDA accredited vet. It doesn't mean she's like an amazing vet, but for specific paperwork, and I think for, you know, for all the different paperwork you need to do serious travel, that's who you need to go to, certainly for international travel. So I think to simplify, talk to your vet first and then find out, you know, okay, well, your vet will know. Your vet's going to know all the minutiae. And I think it's easy to get caught up once you go down the rabbit hole to be like, you go to one website and another website and everybody has different rules and regulations, right? So it's yours, the airline, there's the destination, whether it's a country or a state or whatever.
Let's get airlines off the table first, because one of the things that wasn't in your article that I happen to know, because I've had friends who've traveled with dogs, is there's only a certain number of spaces for dogs on planes. They limit the number that they will carry. And so sometimes you have to plan and book well in advance if you want to take your dog with you. Otherwise, you will not find a space for that dog. They're not going to have a whole plane full of dogs. They only allow a couple of them for each flight. So that's something else you have to worry about if you're going to do that. But let's focus on road trips, because I think that's going to be much more common. Although some people do travel with their pets overseas, and we could talk about that. So in your article, you say you have to look at the type of vacation it is for your dog. You don't want it to be too crazy active because your dog may be a dog who mostly sleeps on the couch and is going to get exhausted. I had no idea dogs can get sunburns. That was...
Me either. I know. And cats too, you know, so you want to keep them. The interesting thing to me when I was doing this piece was so many of the tips that were given were the same things that you would apply to kids, to people in general, like, and sort of common sense stuff. But you're like, I didn't know that about my dog. So, right. You know, Dr. Bailey, who's the head of the American Veterinary Medical Association, you know, he was like, he said, you know, okay, if your dog is a couch potato, like, don't take them to Big Sur hiking, I think was the example that he gave, right?
Yeah.
But I think, like, you know, that's true of, it's like, you want to do something that you've normally done before. And I think another really great tip in that piece was, you know, test it out first. Like, test out your pet and you and see what works for you. Go to a hotel for one night before you book 10 nights across the country, you know, and see how you both do. And so in our
take your dog on a car ride if you don't use it.
Take your dog on a car ride. You know, take your dog and don't have it be like a 6-hour car ride. See if your dog does a 1-hour car ride. You know, what I learned for our dog is that she does not like the car. You know, she's a rescue from Texas. I don't know what happened on the way here. Like, but she really looks like she's like curled up, like she doesn't enjoy it. And also, I realized that when we went for a short trip, that she, you know, really, like, it was stressful. Nicole Ellis, who is a pet expert, said, you know, decide if it's right for you and your family. And truthfully, my husband was so stressed out because he thought that she was going to go to the bathroom everywhere. And then it was like, how long is too long? And was she comfortable? It just was stressful. So,
right. So
what happened with your dog?
Yeah. Well, okay, yeah. So going back to picking where you had to go, I had to do this research trip. I'm updating the Connecticut chapter of our New England book. And so the first thing I had to do was go to a museum, and I hadn't checked into my hotel yet. And so I did the biggest no-no. I left the dog in the car. But we have the kind of car that allows you to set the temperature even when you're not in the car. So I was setting the temperature from inside this museum, but I was so nervous. I kept running back out to the car to check on the dog, waking her up each time. She was fine. She's been in cars a lot, so she was fine in the car. But that's something else you need to worry about is if you're going to leave the dog for certain amounts of time, how do you make sure, as you said, this is just like children, how do you make sure the hotel room is pet-proofed, as in like child-proofed, and how do you make sure they're going to be comfortable? So if you can give some tips for pet-proofing and also for making sure that your pup or cat is comfortable in the room.
Sure. I mean, I think that, like, you know, so the things I didn't think about, and this is also if you have a cat, right? But you want to make sure the windows are secure, that there are no escape routes. You know, your pet should also be wearing a collar with your contact information and a rabies vaccination tag at all times. You know, at hotels, you want to request a room away from stairwells and elevators because, and I didn't realize this, dogs are sensitive to sound. Keep a do not disturb sign on the door, you know, and also look into like Airbnbs, right? Like that's probably a lot easier than a hotel room because it's bigger, hopefully. You want to make sure above all else, you want to have proper ventilation. Even with air conditioning, you know, I remember Dr. Bailey talking about, he suggested bringing a small fan with covered blades so your pet can sit like inside the cooling breeze. And you, with cars, you know, you to go back for a second, you don't want to leave your pet alone for a long time. Keep it brief. That's what all the experts said.
I did not do that. And she did seem stressed when I would get back. She was nervous.
But you live and learn, you know.
You live and learn.
We also said, like, bring, you know, if your pet's crate trained, bring a collapsible crate for comfort and security while you're gone. And then something I thought was really interesting, like leave the TV or radio on so they don't feel alone, you know, which I was like, oh, you know what? Like, it's funny. I think, you know, my mom likes to leave the TV on sometimes just so she doesn't feel alone. Like, so it, we're like humans, you know. And then obviously you can contact like pet sitters. You can see if there's someplace you can drop off your dog or cat, you know, like, but you probably need to set that up in advance. And, you know, there are tons of apps that you can use for pet sitters. And you want to meet the person before you, of course, have them come sit, just like you would with a child. I think you really want to be careful and you want to maintain your pet's regular feeding schedule and walking routine, like the same with kids, you know, like you want to keep their comfort items there. And Dr. Bailey says, never leave pets unattended in cars. And they all said that.
I know.
Sorry. You know, because you can get heat stroke really quickly.
Right.
And you want to secure pets in harnesses and position them away from airbags. And so, and keep them on a leash. Okay. It's a long list, but.
It's a long list. And if you are going to go to a hotel, there are pet-friendly hotels. I went to this cheapo motel. It was absolutely fine, clean, $65 a night. Can't beat that.
Amazing.
And it was $75 for the pet for 3 nights. But it was so pet-friendly, I kept hearing woofs and you know, sounds as I was going down the hall. And they had special hangers for the door that said there was a pet in there. And they told me that the maids would not be making up the room unless I was there personally, which I thought was a great idea.
That's fantastic.
So, yeah, I just stumbled onto that.
There are lots of really great, you know, I think one time, I can't remember what it was, the Lowe's, there's some hotel chain that I like looked down and there was like, there's like a pet check-in, you know, they have like, they give them like a little treat or whatever. And so I, you know, I think like, it's comforting to go someplace where there are other pets, right? I mean, obviously, hopefully your dog or cat can interact with other people, like they're okay with them. But, you know, they're used to having pets, so it's not such a big deal.
Yeah. Is there any other big thing that we haven't mentioned that we should have talked about in terms of traveling with pets? I mean, it's also a joy. I got to say, I took her to Stonington, which is right next to Mystic.
Yep.
And I was looking at a hotel, and then I came back and got her from the car. She was there 15 minutes. I was checking the weather.
Well good.
I feel so guilty. And then I took her on a long walk. I saw this little pocket beach. There were no signs, so I took her there, and we were romping around. She was digging in the sand. She was living her best life. And this other man who was on the beach was giving me the stink eye. And I thought, why are you giving me the stink eye? I'm allowed on this beach. There are no signs. And then I went out the other exit. Big sign. No dogs. No pets.
It's but, funny. You know, the pet piece that I wrote, there were so many comments. There were people have very strong opinions about pets and about traveling with pets and whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think, you know, the really important things are talk to your vet. Make sure you connect with a USDA accredited vet for any paperwork. Right. And they can really guide you through the things and bring up things you might not even think about, you know, and do your homework on what all the carriers and all those things, just so you have an idea yourself, right? Because it also can be really expensive. You want to pet proof everything, which we've talked about. And also, you know, another thing that I thought was really interesting is, and made me realize that my dog's microchip had expired, was that.
Oh, I didn't know that could happen.
So wow. you have to up it on an annual basis.
Huh.
So, which I didn't realize. So one of the tips was make sure your pet is microchipped and that the microchip is compliant with international travel requirements if you are actually traveling internationally. And so I looked online and it said that it was expired. And I was like,
things like that. Yeah, lots you have to do.
And
I got to ask you before you go on about the comments. Did you have a lot of angry people who didn't think people should be traveling with pets? Was that?
I think there were, yes. I mean, it made me laugh because, you know, you never know what's going to resonate with people or, you know, cause commentary. But there were definitely a lot of people in the comments who, like, do not want people traveling with their pets. And, you know, find it to be, you know, someone had also like tracked me down on my personal email and wrote, you know, I mean, which just happens all the time. I'm sure it happens all the time to you, but wow. like had written a note saying that, you know, many years ago, I got a few variations of this, that basically like that there was someone like in their family that was allergic to dogs, and that some, you know, that the dog came by on the somehow on the train, and that, you know, that they had an attack, or their family had an attack. Like, those are like real concerns, but there was some pet rage, you know, which is like, it's funny when you see, you know, what people think. So yes, some people do not love cats and dogs.
Really interesting stuff. Well, it is a terrific article. I thank you so much for appearing on the Fromer Travel Show. It's been a delight speaking with you.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
And that is it for this week's show. I thank you so much for listening. And to those who are traveling, may I wish you a hearty bon voyage. I'll see you next week.
You coming home. I like you with your sour candy in the boathouse on the lake. But I hate the way it tastes. Oh, it's been so long. And I can't help but wonder, are you ever coming home? When I see you with your sour candy, don't want it any other way. Oh, I just hate, I hate, I hate, I hate, I hate. I hate the way it tastes.
Hey guys, Aaron Miller here from Armchair Explorer, and I just wanted to let you know that our new series is out now. We've got kite skiing across Antarctica, Aboriginal storytellers, and the craziest whitewater race in the world. We're going on a bucket list hike across Italy. We're going to the fjords of Norway in search of the Northern Lights, and lots, lots more. Our goal is to take you on the trip of a lifetime every single week. You can find Armchair Explorer on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you're listening right now, and at voyescape.com.
If you want to travel more, ideally in luxury, but without the luxury price tag, this show is for you. I'm DeAndre Koch, and on Revolutionizing Your Journey, I use my unique vantage point as a financial advisor to break down exactly how my wife and I leverage credit card points and miles to fly business class, stay at five-star resorts, and take bucket list trips for a fraction of the cost. Each week, I share real strategies packed with actionable tips and interview some of the smartest travelers in the game to help you revolutionize the way you travel. Travel well, live boldly, and find Revolutionizing Your Journey wherever you get your podcasts.